This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Poverty and all its related concerns require so much mental energy that poor people have less remaining brain power to devote to other areas of life. As a result, people of limited means are more likely to make mistakes and bad decisions that may be amplified by and perpetuate their financial woes. Those findings come from research based at Princeton University and published in August 2013 in the journal Science. The study presents a unique perspective regarding the causes of persistent poverty. The researchers suggest that being poor may keep a person from concentrating on the very avenues that would lead them out of poverty. We're joined on the phone now by one of the researchers involved in the study, University of British Columbia Assistant Professor Zhaoying Zhao.
Welcome to People First Radio, Zhaoying.
Thanks for having me.
Your research article acknowledges that a variety of studies already point to a correlation between poverty and counterproductive behavior, but your research group proposes a different kind of explanation which focuses on the mental processes required by poverty. Tell us about how your research differs from previous research conducted in this area of study.
Yes, so we are actually arguing for a direct causal relationship between poverty and mental function. So it's not just correlational. We're saying that having limited resources by itself can be a cause of poverty. So when you're struggling with different demands, when you're trying to pay bills, pay rent, that itself can lead you to perform worse on cognitive tasks. So that's our claim. That's different from other previous accounts of poverty that are mostly correlational.
For people that are new to research language, what is the difference between correlational and causal? And why is it such an important distinction?
So by correlational, I mean the poor people tend to have lower levels of education. They tend to also have lower levels of nutrition. So this is observed by, you know, data that's already available in the field. So as your income is lower on the scale, your educational level is also lower. That's correlational. But what we're arguing is that by manipulating how much resources you have, we actually experimentally induce the experience of poverty. That itself can lead you to perform, that causes you to perform worse cognitively. So that's a difference.
Give us a brief overview of how you tested your hypotheses. How was this research actually conducted?
So we did the studies in two ways. In one set of studies, we went to a shopping mall in New Jersey in the States, and we presented hypothetical financial scenarios to these people who were just shopping the mall. So, for example, one of the scenarios is your car is having some trouble. It will take you $200 to fix or $2,000 to fix. How would you go about it? So what we found is when you have relatively more resources, when you are richer on the income scale, whether the cost is $200 or $2,000 doesn't really matter in terms of your cognitive function. But when you're poor, that means when you're on the lower end of the income scale, facing or thinking about a large cost, like a $2,000, will significantly reduce your cognitive performance. So that's but when the cost is low, $200, the poor perform just as well as the rich. So that's our evidence that just by priming you, just by asking you to think about hypothetical financial troubles, will lead to cognitive impairment.
You use two different but complementary designs. You're talking about the one in New Jersey.
So the second set of studies involves farmers in India. So this is a sort of observational data set that we have. So these farmers have one harvest a year, and they get their income at the harvest. So what we did was we tested their cognitive function before the harvest when they were poor and after the harvest when they're rich. So this allows us to look at, within the same individual, how you perform intellectually as a function of your income. So what we found was highly, consistent results as the mall studies. So when you're poor, when you haven't got your income, your cognitive function is lower than when you're rich, when you have received the income after the harvest.
What were your findings in general from the whole study?
So these two sets of studies both point to one conclusion, which is that under poverty, when you don't have enough resources to meet your needs, your cognitive functioning is lowered in general.
Now, you've suggested that services for the poor should accommodate the effects of poverty and the cognition effects that you're describing. Can you give us a broader view of your findings and how they relate to, let's say, social policy?
Sure. So the policymakers should be aware of the cognitive taxes on the poor, just as they are aware of the monetary taxes on the poor. So, having long interviews, having long forms, sophisticated, complicated application procedures for benefit programs all consume cognitive resources that the poor don't have. So what the policymakers can do is simplify these procedures and forms for these low-income populations and make things easier, reduce their cognitive demand for these programs and services, so that make it easier for low-income populations to take advantage of these government programs. So that's one obvious sort of immediate application for policy.
You said in one of the interviews that I read about this particular study, and this is attributed to you, these findings fit in with our story of how scarcity captures attention. It consumes your mental bandwidth. Just asking a poor person to think about hypothetical financial problems reduces mental bandwidth. This is an acute, mm-hmm. immediate impact and has implications for scarcity of resources of any kind. Tell us more, Zhao Ying, about the whole concept of mental bandwidth. And are these findings leading us in other directions for research in terms of the way that one uses one's mental bandwidth?
Sure. So every one of us has limited mental bandwidth. That means we can only process a certain number of certain information at a time. We can only hold, 5 digits in our head at a time. We can only attend to certain things in our lives at a given moment. So in other words, our cognitive capacity is limited. That's what we mean by the mental bandwidth. And what scarcity does is it focuses our attention and our processing resources on the task at hand. If I can't afford my next meal, I'm going to dedicate all my cognitive resources or mental resources to solving that problem because it's urgent, it's difficult, it's pressing. And this has consequences for my performance on other things in life. So as I'm concerned about my financial troubles, I'm less able to attend to other things in my life, for example, my job, my family, friends, etc. So that's the consequences of scarcity. And by scarcity of resources of any kind, so we don't just mean money, in this case poverty, but also resources such as time. So when you're busy, when your schedule is packed, having to go to another meeting is demanding. So that we'll have other evidence to show that just budgeting with time can also impede your cognitive performance.
I'm looking also at one of the quotes in the articles that appeared about this research attributed to Eldar Shafir, who is one of the co-researchers with you in this particular study. And Eldar Shafir says, you want to design a context that is more scarcity-proof. And there's very little you can do with time to get more money, but a lot you can do with money to get more time. And then Eldar Shafir goes on to say, the poor who our research suggests are bound to make more mistakes and pay more dearly for errors inhabit contexts often not designed to help. So I guess the question to you as we wrap this brief discussion about this research up is there a vicious circle underway here, or is this more of a chicken and egg sort of scenario, or what is being revealed to us and what questions are left to be answered?
It is more of a vicious cycle. So we're saying that when you're poor, either time or money, you behave less optimally, you make more errors that lead to further poverty, or leads you to, you know, to get into this trap of scarcity. So that's a claim that poverty itself can actually be a cause of persistent poverty. And what we are sort of suggesting is what the government can do to help the poor get out of that trap. So having, you know, smart defaults, setting up reminders for these people. These are sort of aids that we can easily manipulate or implement in the program that will help the poor a lot. So this is what he meant by scarcity-proof context.
Dr. Jia Ying Dro, is there anything else you'd like to add to this conversation?
I think that's it. And also, I want to stress that we are very careful about other factors such as stress, physical exertion, nutrition, et cetera. And these factors, while all important, cannot explain the effect of scarcity on cognitive function. So that's just something I want to say as well.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
Zha Ying Zhao is an assistant professor in the Department of Psychology and Institute for Resources, Environment, and Sustainability at the University of British Columbia.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.